Has not the cross always been a test? Has it not always been the statement of our Lord of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 38th verse? And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Has not that always been a test of the new creation from the day of Pentecost to the present time, when we all answer yes? Also the manna comment of January 21st, a portion of it. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Cross-bearing is closely related to self-denial, and yet a distinction between them may be noted. Self-denial relates more particularly to passive obedience and endurance for the Lord's sake, and so forth. Yes, that's always been a test. Why did Brother Russell, in the reprint suggested on your program, 3436 reprint article, suggest that the harvest has four tests: the cross, the presence, humility, and love? Did not Brother Russell suggest that there would be a peculiar type of test to the harvest period? I would answer yes, there has been, and we trust that our lesson will follow through. But first let us note the first harvest, the Jewish harvest. What was the test of the Jewish harvest that was peculiar to that period of time? And we believe it was when John the Baptist announced, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Why was the Lamb of God a peculiar test to the Jewish harvest? Well, we must realize that all the brethren that then followed our Lord and the early apostles up to the time of the introduction of the harvest of the Jewish age had to do with Jews under the law. Here they're now asked to set aside the law of Moses, a divine law, and follow Jesus, the Messiah. That was a heavy cross to bear, and not all did it. Though it is true, some 8,000, according to the account in Acts, at the time of Peter, did come into the early church. How many remained bearing their cross? Because remember, what did it mean to one of the Jewish stock to abandon their synagogue, their friends, their rabbis, their law, their ordinances, their procedures, and follow after a stranger, Messiah of Jesus of Nazareth? That was a heavy cross to bear. And no doubt from the account of the apostles, many turned back and left the discipleship because the cross was too heavy. Now then, we see that leaving the law was a test for the Jewish harvest. Now, brethren, what would you suit for the test of the harvest of the gospel age? Could we now use, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world"? Of course not. Why? Because the majority of nominal Christendom already believed in the Lamb of God to one extent or another. Therefore, that could not become a cross for them to bear. They only enlarged and added to their understanding of Christ by coming into the truth and accepting full discipleship, so that of itself would not be a cross. We would suggest that seemingly the test of the harvest has been quite different than that. No doubt you're all right now wondering what it's going to be. I've asked several brethren earlier during my period, what would you consider? Through much prayer and consideration, we've come up with this thought. Come out of her, my people. You say now, how could that be a test of the harvest? Realize, brethren, what it has meant. In Revelation, the 18th chapter, where the statement is found, verses 4 and 5, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. At the time of the pasture, the early days of the harvest, at least one half of the brethren or more that came into the light of harvest truth had to come out of Babylon. They lost their friends, many of them, their associations, their church relationships, their pastors. Families broke up. The call, come out of her, became a heavy burden, a cross to bear. And the Lord indicated that this cross would be a continuing one. In Psalm, the 50th chapter, familiar to us all, the result of come out of her, my people, is clearly outlined for us in verses 4 and 5, Psalm 50. He that is our God, and also including our returned Lord, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Notice in verse 4, he, our God, our Lord, in addition, calls to the heaven from above, meaning that our Lord calls down to a lower strata of heavens, which would be the nominal Christian heavens. He calls to them, come out of her. Notice also, he shall call and to the earth. I believe Brother Russell has suggested in his accounting that about one half of the brethren who came into the truth or come into the truth have come from the world. Coming from the world, come out of her. Well, how do you come out of her? You leave your social arrangements, your family relationships many times. And you all know, brethren, that some that have come into the truth out of the world, it may have cost their marital status, it may have cost relatives, friends, or it creates a problem within a home. And so that cross has always been a burden to bear. But it's interesting, in this statement, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people, suggesting as a result of coming out of one thing or the other, whatever that arrangement may be, you now come into a position to be judged of the returned Lord. Then he states the situation in verse 5, Psalm 50. Gather, assemble, group together, my saints, those that made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We like the thought of the pastor in reprint 59:28, dealing with verse 5, when this class shall, or this company, shall have completed their covenant by sacrifice, the present age will end. A clear statement that as long as there are sacrificing saints this side of the age, this side of the veil, the age, gospel age, the harvest period will not end. I emphasize this because in the article suggested by the pastor, the four tests of the harvest, if the harvest ended in 1914, as some unfortunately believe, then by the very statement of the pastor, the test would cease. No more test of the presence, no more test of loyalty or love, and therefore, those things are past. No, Brother Russell foresaw that as long as brethren would be this side of the veil, the nature of these tests would continue. So we propose from this and from many other scriptures and the facts that the harvest indeed has not ended, so the trials, the cross, still continues as each of you find as you carry out your vows of consecration. We mentioned that shortly after the 8,000 or so brethren of the Jewish age came into the truth, apparently the tests and the trials became heavy, and many left the church. The Apostle Paul indicates this in his epistles, because he soon was going from house to house in fellowship with brethren in small assemblies, suggesting the larger numbers had dropped away. Now let's go back to the time of the pastor. We now have history to look upon, experiences of our own brethren. In 1910, Brother Russell suggested that there are about 10,000 brethren that partook of memorial that year. You'll find that in the Tower article. I believe it's May of 1910. What happened to the many that came? Well, many left. The cross of the harvest was too heavy. It cost too much to give up family, old associations and friendships and fellowships. You brethren find in your own ministry of your activities with your tracts, your television programs and your radio programs, why are they not more responsive? Oh, it costs so much to join the truth. You have so much, so little to offer. And Babylon has seemed to have so much to offer. Nice cathedrals, beautiful palaces, as it were, to fellowship in against the assemblies that most of the brethren. Therefore, the cost is heavy. There's nothing here to glamorize the truth except the truth itself which draws us. Then came the time of October 31st, 1916. Pastor's death. Then became a new trial upon the brethren. Many then felt, perhaps, Brother Russell might have been the last of the church. Some concluded that the door was closed. No more sealing of the saints from then on. Therefore, the road was very easy for those that concluded we were sealed. We're spirit begotten prior to 1914 or 16 or 18, one of those periods. And therefore, we are almost on a safe road, and all the rest don't have an opportunity. However, though, we have found it to be the reverse, have we not, dear brethren? No, the door was not closed. It is not yet closed. We see the evidences of spirit begotten. We have a new sister in our class, the home class, of the Tigard Bible students. By the way, they send their love to you. And she recently left the Catholic Church and left the Four Square Gospel Church and is rejoicing in the truth as a child is begging for food. It's marvelous to see this spirit of one recent in the truth. Well, when the harvest siftings continued after the death of the pastor, the Lord permitted a new figure to rise into the Bible student movement, an individual that was not honest in his final arrangements and formed a new society, or the continuation of the old society as was suggested by some. However, under the false teachings of the organization that followed the death of the pastor, did just one or two brethren continue with him? No, brethren. Large number of brethren continued with the society, and they lost the truth. Why? Now we have an organization that we can claim as our own. Be loyal to the society, and you're loyal to God. What happened to the cross? Come out of her, my people. The cry again came to the Bible student movement. Come out of her. A new Babylon has arisen. Did not Brother Russell suggest in the third volume, your flight out of Babylon is by no means your last flight. It'll be followed by succeeding flights. Brother Russell foresaw that coming out of her was going to be a test through the entire period of the harvest. So we saw under the administration of the individual that followed the death of the pastor and his false teachings, he entrapped hundreds and thousands of brethren, no doubt, but few left, formed again, a gathering together of the solidarity of the truth and the harmonization of the pastor's writings. But the Lord says that's not enough. Did Brother Russell not suggest your flight out of Babylon will not be your last flight? So the Lord again permitted new organizations and new associations to develop among the brethren in various quarters and areas. And again, new departures from the truth followed. Again, come out of her, my people, remembering it's a harvest truth that sanctifies. It's not by our allegiance to any group or organizations. It's our allegiance to the Lord and our fidelity to truth that sponsors our hearts and our minds. So we suggest the cost of present truth is the cost of fidelity and faithfulness. When Brother Russell closes the first volume, you may remember he has a summary little chapter in which he goes back over the value of the first volume. And this volume, volume 1, pages 346 and 347, this particular statement is found as the value of the first volume. It states, quote, "But to obtain this knowledge and this strength, which God thus proposes to supply to each runner for the heavenly prize, will surely test the sincerity of your consecration vows. Are you willing to follow on to know the Lord through evil report and good report? Are you willing to forsake all to follow as he may lead you by his word, to ignore the wishes of friends as well as your own desires?" A beautiful short statement in volume 1 of the cross or test of the harvest. We like to emphasize, it is not present truth that is the cross. It's the joy. It's the realization of what we have. It's what present truth has cost us to retain this truth. It has caused us at times to forsake sometimes association with brethren we've known for years because doctrinal changes to the extent that you can no longer have close companionship upon these things when there's a direct violation of Scripture. Then, of course, the test is there. So we like to emphasize it is not the test of it. The present truth is not the cross. It's the price we pay to hold to the present truth. I have the statement that we wrote out like this. Remember the point. Present truth of itself is not the cross, but rather our present work of holding the truth and its purity becomes our heavy duty and obligation that might cost friends and its old associations rather to follow the path of error. This is our cross to bear faithfully. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 23 to 25, we have another admonition of the apostle in relationship to our experience for today as brethren. Familiar text to us, and it reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of Christ in his finality approaching." So, dear brethren, we see this relationship of the test of the harvest, our fellowship together as brethren as we are now, to joy the fact to hold to the truth costs us something, and we're glad to pay the price. If it didn't cost something, the crown would not be of great value, and thus we'll be faithful to it. And now we hear from Brother Don and its relationship to that portion of the harvest testing.